Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs. Refreshing, relevant, real.
But as people are looking at the election coming up in November, I think this is what I'm hearing, is that people are looking at voting for the lesser of two evils. Okay, that's never a good thing. I'm even afraid that some Christians won't vote. There's a lot in the balance there as far as just, especially with the Supreme Court judges that will be coming off. And the judges just have so much power these days as far as not only decisions, important decisions, but also even legislation, what is law and what isn't. Probably overstepping their bounds, but we need people in there that uphold just virtue and morals within our country. And so right now it appears Trump, Hillary, you know, are the two. Who knows? A lot can happen between now and November, you know. But that's what we're looking at. So who will God vote for? Is there a clear choice for Christians? What are we supposed to be doing as Christians? So we're going to just look to Scripture and see what God has to say. Who would God vote for? Okay? So I want you to open up your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 2. You can turn your electronic version. In fact, if you download the app, before you leave today, that is your thing to do, to download the RSC app. There's just some really great things on there. So what it'll do is it'll notify you when the message is uploaded. It'll notify you that. It'll take you there. It's kind of a shortcut in that you can just click on it. It'll take you right away to what is happening at Radiant Springs Church. So it has the picnic coming up there, a concert in the park, just the new members class, some of those things. But also it's a quick link if you want to listen to the messages, if you want to see the calendar. So all those things, it's just a much quicker way on your phone or iPad to get to that information. So if you want to give, you can do that easily online, so through the app as well. So, but you can also, there's a link to your Bible there, so electronic version of the Bible, that's what I was getting at. So you can, if you just want to go to the app, it can take you right there as well. So, but 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 through 4, we're going to look there. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you for your word that is quick, it is powerful. I pray you would take it and apply it to our hearts and speak into our hearts this morning. We give you the thanks, we give you the praise, we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Paul is speaking here to Timothy, and this is what he has to say. Timothy was a young pastor that Paul had mentored and raised up, and this is the first of two letters that Paul would write to Timothy. He says, "First of all, then, I urge you that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for all people, for kings and all those who are in high positions, that we may lead quiet, peaceful and quiet lives, godly and dignified in every way. This is good and is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires that all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." You know, not all nations are a democracy, are they? And I think many times we take our freedoms, our privileges as a nation for granted. You go to other countries, they don't have the choice of choosing a president or the leader of their nation. And in some countries, they do have a democracy, but there is so much corruption and that goes into that process that even in then, when I've been in Guyana the last couple of years, they've had elections, but they also talk about, you know, just the election process is so corrupt that you don't know if the person you're voting for or the person that actually wins is actually going to be the winner because just of the corruption that is there. So we are a privileged nation in that aspect. I realize it's not perfect, but we're privileged to be part of a democracy. In the Old and New Testament, kings came to power by succession. In other words, if you were part of the kingly line, you were maybe if you were a son, one of the sons, usually it would come through that succession. You would be the next king. Sometimes they took it by force, so they would assassinate, murder the king, and take power, all right? But it was never voted upon. Sometimes they sought God in his direction for the first couple kings, but slowly that faded, very quickly it faded. In the United States, we have a democracy, and we have that privilege of electing our next leader. Israel was a theocracy. In other words, God was supposed to be their king, okay? Now, they asked for earthly kings, and so God gave in to that. But still, God was supposed to be their king. America is not a theocracy. We are a democracy, though. And we have some Christian foundations within our constitutions that I believe are worth fighting for. When Paul writes to Timothy, most people had little control of who would be a given leader in the Roman Empire. Think about that. Okay? Biblical times when Jesus walked the earth, and even now we go past Jesus' crucifixion, resurrection, and Roman Empire is still very much in charge. People were placed in authority. They had very little say. There wasn't a democracy. People were put into power. There was uprising, rebellions. But they didn't have that choice of selecting their leader. So nowhere in the Bible does it tell us to vote. Do you know that? It does call us to be citizens. And voting is a matter of doing the right thing as being a citizen of the United States of America. So what does Scripture call us to do? First of all, Scripture calls us to do what? To what? To pray. So Paul says of first importance we are to pray, all right? We are to pray. That is of first importance. Secondly, how are we to pray? He gives us four different types of prayers, different words that he uses to describe prayer, if you want to put it that way. The first one, Paul says, supplications in the ESV. Supplications. What is supplications? We don't use that word a lot, but supplication means it's a request or a petition with emotion. Okay, now if your child is coming to you and they're petitioning, requesting some, you know, sometimes there's a little emotion involved there, right? Especially if it's maybe more a girl, but the guys can get into it too, all right? But there's a difference between a request and one that has some emotion with it, right? Maybe there's some moaning or groaning or the big eyes or droopy eyes saying, you know, mom, dad, you know, there's emotion there, right? Supplication has that idea that we're coming before God requesting, but there's some emotion involved there. There's some earnestness there. There's some serious diligence that we are coming before God to seek His face when we pray to Him, when we pray for our country. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, that chapter, Solomon is dedicating the temple. It was a grand temple that they built for God. Before that, they had been in the tabernacle, and David wanted to build the new temple, but God says, no, you've shed too much blood. And so he was able to raise the funds, the materials. Solomon, his son, would then build the temple. There's a lot of gold, a lot of the finest materials in the world to build this temple for God. And as they offered the sacrifices, God's presence filled that place in such a dramatic way that people couldn't even stand in the presence of God because God's presence was so powerful in that place. But then God goes on to say, but if Israel decides to choose a way other than serving God and they stray from me, my judgment is going to come upon my people. Okay, it's not going to go unnoticed. And difficult days will follow. But verse 14 says, but if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. That is a prayer of supplication, of crying out to God, humbling yourself, seeking the face of God. It's not just a simple prayer. It's a prayer that it requires sacrifice and something from us. God says, if my people that are called by name will humble themselves and pray, then I will heal their land. That is a supplication. Does that apply to us still today? I believe it does. If God's people will come before Him for their nation, we're not Israel, but for our nation, I believe that God will hear our prayer. Amen? Supplication. Second one is prayer. Okay, it's just translated prayer. Again, here it just means to pray a request, but it means you're praying to God. You know, have you ever heard people say, hey, I'll pray for you? Or they on the news, they'll say, we're saying a prayer for them, okay? But I always kind of saying a prayer. Who are they praying to? Who are they praying to? It's not always God. I think sometimes people are, when they say that, they're saying, you know what, we're wishing you the best. We're hoping, we're worrying for you. We're hoping for the best. But they're not actually going before God, the creator of the universe, the King of Kings, and bowing their knee before God and seeking God's face for that need or situation. When we use this term prayer, it means you're coming before God, before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to bring your request and to seek the face of God. That is true prayer, all right? It is more than just wishing someone well or consoling them, but it means that you're going before the King of the universe. Thirdly, he uses the word intercessions. Again, this is a request or a petition, but it's not for myself. It is for who? Somebody else, right? Intercede means I am praying for somebody else in their behalf. It could be for family, for children. It could be for my nation. It could be for leaders. But it's not praying for myself. I am praying for other people. Some great prayers of intercession found in Scripture. Daniel, in the book of Daniel, you'll see his prayer where he intercedes for Israel while they're in exile. He prays for them that God will honor his word and bring them back and restore them. I want us to look at Ezekiel 22, 23 through 31 in the Old Testament. Ezekiel was a contemporary with Daniel, ministered at the same time. And God speaks through Ezekiel. He was a priest. And I'm just going to read this. It starts in verse 23 down through 31. And it says, the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel. He said, son of man, say to her. Her is Israel, okay? In the Hebrew, Israel is feminine, okay? Say to her, you are a land that is not cleansed and rained upon in the day of indignation. The conspiracy of her prophets in the midst of roaring lion tearing the prey. So the prophets are corrupt. They're tearing apart the innocent. Okay, so they're not in it for their own, for the interest of others. They are in it for their own interest. This is supposed to be the religious people, the prophets. Okay. They've devoured human lives. They've taken treasure and precious things. They've made many widows in her midst. Are you catching that? The prophets are so corrupt. It's just that they're not greedy, but they're actually murdering, killing others, making widows to further their cause, to put money in their material things in their pocket. That is how corrupt Israel was. It was at the time that God would bring his judgment against them. Her priests have done violence to my law. They've profaned my holy things. They have made no distinction between holy and the common. In other words, there's no right and wrong. There's no difference. Neither have they taught the difference between unclean and clean. They've disregarded my Sabbaths. You know, Sabbath is more than a law. We're going to talk more about that this summer. But Sabbath, God created it for us, for our benefit, for our joy, for our health. Talk more about that. They've profaned that among my name among them. Verse 27, her princes in her midst are like wolves tearing the prey. So the leaders of Israel are like wolves. Instead of being somebody that is there for the people, to represent the people, to care for the people, they are wolves that are tearing their own people apart. Isn't that just a very vivid picture? Shedding blood, destroying the lives of to get dishonest gain. They're in it for themselves. Her prophets have smeared whitewash for them. So the prophets are covering up for the leaders, seeing false visions, divining lies, saying, thus saith the Lord, when the Lord has not spoken. The people of the land have practiced extortion, taken advantage, interest. You know? In the news here not too long ago was payday loans and some of those similar businesses that it's extortion, folks. They take out money and you don't have, and they such high interest that people can't get out of it. They're enslaved, okay, by some of these businesses. They're being extorted. Extortion. They've practiced extortion and committed robbery. In the land, they oppress the poor and the needy. They don't help them out. Instead, there's oppression. They've extorted the sojourner without justice, people traveling through your land, and you take advantage of their situation, their lack of knowledge. Maybe they're naive or just they don't have the resources, but you take advantage of the person passing through your land. God, it's for all these things that God brought judgment upon Israel. Verse 30. And this is the part that I have in bold here. God says, "And I sought for a man, woman, among them who would build up the wall and stand in the gap, in the breach before the land, so that I would not have to destroy it. But I found," what? "I found none." God says, "I did not want to destroy Israel. I didn't want to bring judgment against Israel, but I looked for someone that would be willing to build up the walls that had fallen and crumbled. I looked for somebody that would be willing to stand in that gap to defend Israel, to pray for Israel, to do what was right for Israel. But I found none." See, intercession. We can look at the problems of our nation and say, you know what, I haven't been part of the problem. I haven't been sinning. I haven't been doing things that are wrong. But when we intercede for a nation, Daniel would be one of those. He would actually say, you know what? He doesn't use the terminology "they have sinned." He says, "I have sinned. We have sinned." Daniel hadn't sinned, but he included himself with his people and said, "We have sinned and done what is wrong." God is, I believe, in our nation today, He is looking for those that will say, you know what, I'm going to stand in the gap for my nation. I'm going to pray for my nation. And I don't think we're there as people. We talk about it. Even as Christians, I think we talk about it. But when's the last time you actually got on your knees and prayed for your nation? For more than a minute. See, and if we're not willing to do that, then something tells me we're not very serious. Then maybe we're not in enough pain or discomfort that we're willing to go before God for our nation. I think Britain right now is kind of in some pain, and they're kind of serious. And we don't know what the future holds. We don't. But God has called us to come before Him with supplication, with prayer, with intercessions, to stand in the gap. And you can't look at the person next to you and say, you know why? Why don't they do it? You. God's calling you. The fourth one, thanksgiving. I don't know when the last time it is that you thank God for your nation and the freedoms you have. But thanks, we need to also give God thanks. In a lot of ways, God has shed His blessing upon us. We sing those patriotic songs, right? "God bless America, America the beautiful." And that God has graced and showered His blessing upon us, and He has. When you look at a lot of the nations of the world, why do people want to come to America? It's because of the prosperity. It's because of the freedoms. They crave that and they hunger that because that is not happening in their nation. You go to Mexico, people live in fear of their life because of the drug cartels and some of the corruption that is taking place there. You go to some of the other Central American countries, they just want to make a living. They're hard workers, but they want to make a living for themselves where they can provide for themselves and their families. That is a luxury that we take for granted in our nation, in our country. Thanksgiving, prayer, supplication, intercession, thanksgiving. As a citizen of the United States and of heaven, you have a duty to pray, not only for our nation, but the nations of the world. Amen. Lastly, what is the goal of prayer for our nation? And all these are in your program here. What is the ultimate goal of prayer for our nation? Paul gives us three of them. First of all, he says what? Peace. Peace. I have to go back up to it here. He says that we may have peace, live quiet and peaceful lives in a dignified way. God wants to bring peace to our land. I don't think he enjoys seeing nations in turmoil and chaos and strife. Nothing good comes from that. God wants to bring peace to our nations. But as we pray, I believe that is the ultimate goal, that God wants to bring peace to our nations. I look at Syria and the chaos and the hardship that has happened in Syria, the people that have been displaced and the lives that have been lost trying to get it out of that country to find safety and to find a normal life where they're not being bombed and shelled and shot at. They're trying to get kids out. They're just trying to find a better life. There's not peace there. To pray for the peace of our world and for our nation, that is a result of prayer. Righteousness. You know, the U.S. does a lot for missions and proclaiming the gospel around the world. We used to be the leader in it. I think there's other countries that are, Latin America and Africa, are probably almost at the same level as we are. If they haven't passed us, they will be passing us soon. America, I think, has a lot more resources, but these other countries have a greater intensity and urgency to share the gospel with the rest of the world. The U.S. does a lot in those areas, but I can also tell you, being in other countries, that we are the biggest dispensers of moral filth and corruption in our world. I can guarantee you, through the movies and the things that we produce in our nation that goes around the world, we are one of the biggest dispensers of evil in this world. Not the only ones, but we are one of the biggest. We need to pray for righteousness in our land and in our world. And I don't think he can legislate that. He can't legislate righteousness. It's never worked down through the years. One of the reformers, we know mostly Luther, right? And then you had Zwingli, and then the one in Geneva. He's going to... But he thought, you know what, we can legislate holiness and righteousness, and it just didn't work. It just didn't work. We need people in there. We need people in the legislature doing the right things. But I think for righteousness to happen in our land, it has to come through revivals. It has to come through as people turn their hearts towards God. There has to be an awakening in the lives of people. And it's possible. Paul lived in the Roman society. I mean, there was a lot of corruption. There was a lot of secularism. And yet he reached people in high places in government. They came to know Christ. Even in the ministry of Jesus, you'll notice that in some of the ladies that were helpers as he traveled from place to place were part of government. Their husbands were high up in the government, and they were helping out as he went from place to place. The gospel is able to reach in those places as we pray and as we seek the face of God. The third one is salvation. Paul says the ultimate goal to pray for our leaders, for our nation, is that people may come to know Christ. That people may come to know Christ. I'll go back here just to catch his words. He says, "This is good and pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires that all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." Salvation. When we pray for our nation, when we pray for our leaders, I think often it is very self-centered. What do I mean by that? It means that we care about the economy, we care about our 401k, we care about our job and getting paid a good wage. We care about those things. That sometimes when we feel those things being taken away, that's when we get earnest. But Paul says we are to pray for the peace and the righteousness of our land and that people may come to know Christ. Those things should actually supersede some of those other things, right? But often we're very human. We're very human. God calls us to prayer. Right now our nation is divided. And I'm going to have the musicians prepare, Jill. I guess you need to. It's divided over who will be president. We're divided over gun rights, right? We're divided over abortion. We're divided over sexual orientation. What is marriage? We're divided over illegal immigration. And this fall, we'll be choosing a president who's going to have some authority to pick judges. To me, that's going to be the biggest thing, is who the judges they get to pick. One position is open. Probably a couple others are forecasting will be open. So as a citizen of America, you vote. But as a citizen of the U.S. and heaven, we pray. We pray hard for peace, for righteousness, and for people to come to the Lord as their Lord and Savior. So who's God voting for? You know who God is voting for? Anybody know? He's voting for you. He's voting for you. He's voting that you are going to stand in the gap. That you, as a believer and follower of Christ Jesus, that you are going to stand in the gap, that you're going to intercede, you're going to pray, and you're going to lift up our nation and lift up our world. If we don't, who will? Who will? As the body of Christ, God has called us to pray and to seek His face. We vote. We can get involved in politics, but our first priority, of first importance, is that we should pray. And God is voting for you. I think we often, many times, put too much importance upon who's president, who's the next leader. We think that a person can actually bring change in our nation. And they can, right? They influence. But I think we give them too much importance. God raises up one leader and He brings down the next. You look through history and even through the biblical account. God raises up one, He brings down the other. He's in control of the nations of the world. He is ultimately going to fulfill His plan and His purpose. With Israel, He did just that. When they followed Him, He exalted them. When they turned from Him, God allowed some hard times to come. Ultimately, it was God that was in control. He raises one up, He brings the other down. Amen. We're going to close with a song called Hear Us From Heaven. We've sang it before. It's not a new one. Emily is going to be back there. Josh and Karen will be over there. If you have a need or request this morning, you want to agree in prayer, they will be there to pray with you. But would you stand this morning, and would you make this your prayer as we sing this? It's just a call, saying, God, hear our prayer for our nation. And would you just let that resonate with your spirit this morning?